Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Newfane Congregational Church, where we gather regularly to practice the art of seeing and loving ourselves, each other, and the world around us as our God does. Whoever you are, wherever you are on your life's journey, whether you're here for the first time or the gazillionth, whether you are spiritually homeless, skeptical, curious, or a committed follower of Jesus, whether you are young or old, rich or poor, liberal or conservative, gay or straight, please trust and know that you are most welcome here. You are loved, you are valued, and you belong here. If you're new to our service, we hope at some point you'll introduce yourself to us and let us get to know you. That said, the space is now open for your announcements. Bucky. Welcome. Jennifer.
A few reasons, including some illness. The choir will not be singing what is listed in the bulletin. And instead, the congregation will sing Crown Him with Many Crowns. And number is 317 up there. So during the offertory, we'll be singing hymn 317. And you may remain seated while we sing. And few will remind you in case you forget. Especially for me.
Karen?
Good morning. A couple of announcements. One, you have in your hand in the form of the insert. On the reverse side of this morning's passage, you will see an invitation to the graveside service for our dear Jeanette Perry. And I want to apologize because I understand that a few of you did not get that information until you saw the bulletin come out yesterday. It was decided on sometime some months ago, and there were a couple of announcements, but and it was published on our calendar, which segues nicely into my next announcement, which is a little overdue. And that is, if you'll indulge me, my queer penchant for exaggeration. One of the most consequential changes that we have made to communications here at Newfane Church is we now publish a live calendar of events. You can access it by just going to the website, newfane.church. There's a link right there on the home page. It is a real-time updated Google Calendar of all the church's events. So things like this service, if you ever miss a service or want to know what's going on, you can check that out and you'll find the information there. Related to communication, we now have updated directories. You'll find them in the rear of the sanctuary as well as downstairs on the tables right when you enter the church. So anyway, that's it for me. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? Well, then would you please join me in the responsive call to worship? Friends, the Spirit of the living God gathers us yet again to continue our training in the way of love. We open our hearts, minds, our senses, movement of gospel, and among us. As we learn how to bear faithful witness to the realities around us, we are reminded that this witness is an intentional act of awareness and presence, not a passive consumption of news and information.
We commit to being active witnesses to the journey of our world, the grief and the joy, the bitterness and the delight, the agony and the bliss.
Let us welcome our doubts into this work, recognizing the vital part it plays in honing our trust.
We commit to showing up fully, just as we are, trusting that our love and has use of all our hearts.
And for those who are able, would you please rise and join us in hymn number 290.
Let shouts of holy joy let him self praise his triumph.
Amen. You may be seated. Would you please join with me on the unison invocation? Love eternal, as we gather in your sight, fill us with your tender spirit, we pray. Hold us together in love. Bless and strengthen the bonds we form here and in the world around us. Grant us the ability to sense your gentle guidance. Help us to trust your capacity to shine through us and perform wonder-working acts of love. With gratitude, we dedicate our lives to your service, gracious God. Amen. Amen. God's peace be with you. At this time, I invite you to rise and extend a greeting of peace with share a sign of peace with your neighbor. At this time, thank you. At this time, Peter's going to come and read the gospel passage from John for us. As he does, I invite us to listen, to notice what comes to our attention, what stands out in the passage.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Peter. As Peter read, I wonder what stood out to you. Sawyer, yes. Say again. Where is Clifton? Oh, your friend. I don't know. I'm so sorry. But you have other friends here. Doesn't he? Does Sawyer have other friends here today? Yeah. You are well surrounded by friends and kin and people who love you so much. What did you notice? Bucky, yeah, what stood out? Not just once or twice, but three times. Peace be with you. Yeah. Thank you, Bucky, pointing up the contrast between the horrible events of the passion, you know, the suffering, the trauma, and then the peace that comes on the other side of all that grief and surrender. Yeah. Thank you. Peter. Oh, I see your question. Yeah. For fear of the Jews, so the disciples are locked in. They're barricading themselves for, you know, lack of a better way of putting it, for fear of the Jews. And by the way, this term, the Jews, in the Gospel of John is sort of John's circumlocution for the Jewish elite, the authorities, the people who are after. Because obviously, as somebody pointed out at Bible study on Thursday, Jesus is Jewish. His followers are Jewish. So it's just the Gospel of John, which is many scholars believe was written by a Samaritan who would not have appreciated some of those subtleties. So whereas we have in Mark and Matthew this reference to scribes and Pharisees specifically by name. In John, it's just sort of the Jews, and that gets used in all kinds of weird ways. And yeah, history is riddled with that. But yes, thank you for your question. The fear is the fear of the disciples for the Jewish elite, the authorities who are coming after them. Yeah, good question. Bob. Yeah.
Jesus comes back. He's there. We have a shepherd. So I need these things to happen before all of you. And Jesus fulfilled that checklist. No matter what barriers we put up, whatever excuses we have.
Yeah, thank you. I love that. I love that. And you're also pointing us to this mystery. You know, a lot of people get they're homing in on the fact that Jesus is both, spirit and body, right? He's both at one, and that in itself, there's meaning in that. The fact that there's no clear dichotomy between spirit and body, as so much of Christian tradition, particularly Western Christian tradition, has tended to emphasize down the centuries. So a lot of people do sort of fixate on this notion of Jesus as just being able to kind of walk through walls like a ghost, but also being really fully fleshed. To your point, I love the devotional sort of distillation that you gave us there about Jesus cutting through and penetrating the locked places in our hearts and in our spirits and then our bodies to come to us, to meet us where we are in our fear, in our cowering, in our various states of distress. Yeah, thank you. I saw a hand back here. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, what a beautiful question. The spirit, Sophia, is one term, is the Greek term, but then you have in the Hebrew, the ruah, which is the breath of God. That's, so breath is very intricately tied to this notion of spirit. So it makes absolute sense. And this is where, it says, receive the Holy Spirit. He's breathing the Holy Spirit on them. But it sounds like your question is more about sort of that flesh-spirit kind of dichotomy, right? Yeah. And one of the things that I appreciate so much about this text is that it's paying no heed to that dichotomy. It's just plowing right through it. So we can be confused and perplexed by it all we want, but the author doesn't care that much. Yeah, Gabriella.
Understandably, interesting about Thomas is that his name is a twin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Two seemingly opposite things conjoined very seamlessly in one.
Mm-hmm.
They give like a term of symbolics or splitting of a person. Like, I wonder if he starts struggling with like twin versions of himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true that it's all external, but we can't actually have that enough external confirmation of what only our intuition can be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Naming, like, what are those that are not seen and yet believe? Like, it doesn't say you're bad, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And even more and more for the story, find themselves capable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Two things that are pretty wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. The twin, I mean, I think that's so profoundly apt. The twin sort of as an embodiment, a paradoxical embodiment of to my mind, both doubt and faith, right? There's a way in which our culture has been primed to see doubt is the opposite of faith, right? But actually, faith and doubt are structurally complicit. They feed each other. Doubt helps to hone our capacity to trust ever deeper. And so, I love what you're saying about, and I actually hadn't noticed or made that connection between Thomas as twin, holding these quote-unquote dualities together in one body. But I so appreciate you helping me to find meaning in the twin. This parenthetical aside that doesn't seem to have anything really to do with the passage, but actually, hello, it does. Thank you. Any other? Yeah, Lens.
I just found it so beautiful how Jesus shows up and is like, Thomas.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
And we don't, like, Jesus is not a character who is like, well, you're SOL, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I will show myself to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you take the chance.
Take the chance. I love that. Lens is pointing us to And by the way, I wouldn't call that basic. I would call that simple, which is a much different thing. It's so profound what you just pointed out, that willingness, Jesus, and this echoes actually what Gabriella was saying too, in part, that Jesus isn't condemning. Jesus isn't eschewing the doubt. Jesus is welcoming the doubt to be seen in its fullness. And meeting Thomas, I think, which is, I think, your point, where Thomas is, right? He's showing up where Thomas is. Thomas is sort of trapped in this sort of narrow way of seeing truth as only a physicalist, materialist reality. And so Jesus says, okay, fine, come poke and prod. Come see for yourself. And touch in a way that satisfies that curiosity, and then we can go deeper. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lens. Gabriella. Yeah. 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 Great. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. 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 The deepening of that expression, it extends to the physical touch. Oh my God. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. This all preaches so much. You all are so brilliant. Bucky. Yeah. Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's right. Bucky's pointing out that Jesus, by virtue of his time spent with Thomas and just getting to know him, would have known very well what Thomas's predispositions are. His inclinations, and would have honored those in just the way that he did in our passage. Thank you. Well, thank you so much. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy God, thank you for this invitation to deeper intimacy with you through the full presence of our bodies, our doubts, our fears, our grief. Thank you for allowing us to touch you and to experience you in the fullness of who you are. Be with us now, we pray. Be with us always. Amen. It's Mission Sunday, and I'm excited. And I know, I trust you are as well. We have, we're going to hear from two of our mission partners. So Chris Terry is coming, getting ready to come speak to us. And I just wanted to highlight that, you know, in our culture, we have a tendency to we've internalized an understanding of freedom from our culture that is very impoverished, I think. We've come to see freedom as the ability to do whatever I want, whenever I want. So that means, right, if I'm constrained by other people or in community, then I can't, I'm not free unless I'm totally able to do spontaneously whatever I will in that moment. And that is so alien to the way that Jesus understood freedom. That is so alien to the way freedom was classically understood, as the ability to become who I am meant to become. That is what freedom is. And I think both of our mission partners this morning embody that ethos of freedom so very well. So I'm excited. I want to turn it over to Chris Terry now.
Missions and partnership. We decided that this year we would try to have presentations ahead of each month for the people that we are sponsoring as a church the following month. Today's presentations are for the people that the church budgeted to give money to next month. But we also invite individuals in the church to support these causes because we find them worthy and we want to be able to not only give personal donations as well as church donations, but also know how we can physically put our hands to the task and how we can help. And when I heard this reading today, I heard this: blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. We don't have to have walked the walk of the people who are struggling that we want to support. We can empathize and be there and be supportive. And the Women's Freedom Center is going to come and tell us about their mission and convince us, as we are already convinced, of how important it is that this organization exists in our community.
Good morning to you all. Can you hear me okay? Thank you all for inviting me to share this space with you this morning. My name is Maddie, and I am an advocate at the Women's Freedom Center. I'm excited to be here with you all today and to share a bit about the work that we as advocates do at the Women's Freedom Center. The Women's Freedom Center has been helping folks in Windham and Southern Windsor counties for over 50 years. In 2024, we celebrated our 50th anniversary. We are a social change organization working to end men's violence towards women. We support and advocate for all survivors of domestic and sexual violence, stalking, and sex trafficking. We support all survivors because violence doesn't discriminate. That said, we recognize that this violence is deeply gendered. Women in particular experience high rates of severe and repeated violence, often with more serious and physical and emotional consequences. In the US, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 7 men will experience intimate partner violence in their lifetime. At the Freedom Center, we believe survivors are the experts in their own lives. Whether someone needs help making a safety plan, navigating the legal system, finding shelter, or simply being heard, we support them in making the choices that are right for them, even when those choices are complex. Our role is to provide options and a safe, judgment-free space where survivors can explore those options at their own pace. Our work focuses on restoring power and choice to survivors that have so often had that taken from them. Our center offers a free 24-hour hotline, emergency shelter, support groups, individual advocacy, legal supports, and emergency assistance with things like clothes, food, phones, and gas. The Freedom Center currently operates a single and family shelter in the Brattleboro area, and at the end of 2025, we hope to open our Springfield shelter. All of our services are free and confidential, ensuring survivors face no barriers to seek our services. In addition to our direct service, we also do community education, working with local schools, hospitals, other community organizations, the police, and others. Our youth advocate has worked in local schools with youth from grades 4 all the way up to college age. I'd have the privilege of going into many of those classrooms alongside her, and it has been a really beautiful experience to be able to teach youth about healthy boundaries and relationships. One of the most important shifts we encourage in our work is to change the conversation around abuse. Instead of asking, why did they stay, we ask, why does someone choose to abuse? This subtle but powerful shift reframes the issue, placing responsibility where it truly belongs, with the person causing the harm, not the one surviving it. When someone calls and hears, you're not alone. When a survivor shares their story and is believed, when someone begins to feel safe again, that's the heart of our work. This work is not always easy. It is challenging. And often requires us to confront painful realities. But there is hope. We see it in the survivors that walk through our door or pick up that phone for the first time seeking our services. In our survivors who feel empowered to take the next steps, and the strength of our community coming together to support those who need it most. Today, we invite you to be a part of it, to learn more and to share what you know, to listen when someone trusts you with their story, to challenge harmful attitudes when you hear them. If you or someone in your life is in need of our services, we empower you to safely connect with us when the time feels right. If you're looking for a way to support us or get involved with us, we encourage you to follow us on our social media pages. In terms of donations, our greatest need currently is gift cards to the local grocery stores, gas cards, and money is always good too. Our website is also a great resource for not only educational information, but to also access a donations list. Again, I want to thank you all for inviting me to come and share a bit about the work we do at the Women's Freedom Center. I thank you all for your ongoing support and help in making our communities places that don't tolerate sexual or domestic violence. Myself and some other advocates will be around after today's service to answer any questions, as well as we brought some educational information. Thank you all.
Thank you so much. Now I would like to introduce HB from Out in the Open, and you're going to get to hear about another amazing organization.
Good morning. Thanks, Lens. Thank you so much for having me. It's really been a treat to be here so early in the morning on a Sunday. But I feel like this is one of the most engaging services I have been to in a really long time. So thank you so much for bringing folks in. So that's really been a treat. My name is HB Lizzito. I'm the executive director of Out in the Open. We are an organization that's based both in Brattleboro, as well as we have some full-time staff up in Northern and Central Maine, which people are always like, that seems strange. But it really works out for us. I live here in Brattleboro. We do a lot of work here in Southern Vermont and in Windham County. I grew up in Central Maine and could see that that was a place that really could use the support that our organization brings. So we are a multiracial, mostly working class movement, capacity building organization. We work with rural LGBTQ people around building power and around building culture. I moved to this area in 2011 after some years of living in the city and really had been finding for myself wanting to bring these two parts of myself and my life together, knowing I felt best when I was in a rural place, but also I felt best when I had LGBTQ community around me. And needing that to be a whole person and to be my full self. So started doing some work here in Windham County around that time. We started putting on concerts and movies, and the first show we ever did was a packed house and 100 people. We thought, when are we going to do this again? So we knew we were sort of onto something. And actually following in a long legacy of people organizing an LGBTQ community here in Southern Vermont, here in Newfane, down in Guilford, sort of all over. So that is something that's been happening here for a long time, a tradition that we're proud to continue. Like my Women's Freedom Center friend was so prepared. I'm like, I have a scrap. everybody does it their own way. It's okay. So we do a lot of work with arts and cultural strategies. We teach people how to produce audio to tell their own stories about their own life. We did a great oral history project about the Andrews Inn, which was a bar and community space in Bellows Falls in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We may have to have some attendees. I see some eyebrow raises. We do a lot of elder support. We do a lot of just community building meals, trying to help people have some of their basic needs met so that we can go on to do a lot of other things that we need to do together. We do some policy advocacy work at the state level as well as at the national level. But a lot of our work is really around community building and giving people a lot of places just to come and be together, to explore what does it mean to be an LGBTQ person in a rural community and kind of find that out together. So I also brought a few things. We do a lot of events locally, so I'll leave these for you here. And I'm also happy to stick around and talk with folks after. We have a couple of our large events coming up in June. One right here in Newfane with our friends at Susu Community Farm will be our annual Pride Family Potluck. People of all ages, I think last year our youngest person was 2 months old and our oldest person was in their mid 80s. And really just a fun day to come out and celebrate our community and being family. So if you are LGBTQ yourself or you have someone in your family or you just want to come and find out who's around, that's a really great event to come to and enjoy food together. The next day, I printed these so strangely, the next day in downtown Brattleboro, we'll be having our second annual Liberation March to really, again, just like bring out lots of folks and show who we are. I think our community is experiencing a lot right now, as many folks are in this country, and so we want to be able to continue providing a visible presence for our folks all over. If you're looking for a little bit of a travel day, we host one summit down here in Vermont. It's 3 days of sort of hands-on stuff. We've had a nose-to-tail butchery workshop. We've had tofu making, medicinal plant identification, as well as more sort of social justice engagement topics. We're doing one up in Central Maine. There's on-site childcare, there's free food, there's camping. So if you want to make a little weekend of it, come up and see us there. We also bought some land in West Brattleboro last year. So we're having some just casual lunches with folks there if you want to come out and spend some time around some chirping frogs. Some of our staff folks will be out there as well. A couple ways that you can support us. We're always looking for helpful builders or carpenters, part of your great tradition, who can help us create things on the land when we purchased it that were not in existing buildings. And so we're sort of building that out and planning it and making some structures there. So always happy to talk with folks about that. We're hosting a fundraising auction in June. So if you have goods or services you might be interested in donating to us there, always happy to receive that kind of support. So happy to be with you all. And I'll leave some flyers and happy to entertain any questions after the service. Thanks so much.
Wow. Thank you both so very much, Women's Freedom Center and Out in the Open, for all that you do and for showing up here today so early in the morning. Honest question, have you ever been more excited to give than you are right now? No, that's the answer I was hoping for. Reminder that we are invited as a congregation to sing the offertory. I almost forgot, Jennifer. Crown Him Lord of All. And that is hymn number 317. As we step into this invitation to give and to give abundantly, let us be reminded of what we have and to celebrate this as an opportunity to help build yet more of God's kingdom here on earth as in heaven.
Please come by, all heaven and anyone. One last thing for me. Never ever to
Praise God, bless you, son. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God, pour out the blood that's done. Praise God, Christ and Spirit flow.
Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Gracious and beloved God, with these gifts, we declare our commitment to you in the form of solidarity with our mission partners, Women's Freedom Center, and Out in the Open, and all of the communities that they serve and all of the ways that they serve them. We declare our commitment to building a kingdom of love and justice in this world, beginning within ourselves and radiating outward into our community. Bless these gifts to that end, we pray. Amen. Amen. I invite you now to have a seat, because we're going into the joys and concerns. This is the time in our service where we share what is on our hearts, whether that be a celebration or a concern for which we seek prayer and support. Yes, Nancy. Yeah. Oh, Nancy, thank you. Holding your brother and my brother's family. Yeah, no, holding your brother's kids and wife in our prayers this morning, and grandkids. Yeah, thank you. Sawyer. Oh, bummer. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, Sawyer. Bucky. Absolutely. Continuing our prayers for Marion. And I just want to say a joy it is to have you both with us this morning, Ryan and Crystal. Thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to finally get to embrace you and to meet you after hearing about you for several months now. Any other joys? Yes, Debbie. Yeah. It's so nice to see Ruth. Thank you. Hear, hear. Ruth, thank you for being here today. It's such a great pleasure to see you after the many months in winter solace. Stan.
All those in harm's way. And let's all show up next Sunday for me, because I have earned you if they know me out there for me.
Deal. It's getting close. Yeah. Spring is springing. Yeah. Thank you, Stan. We hold all who go into harm's way in our prayers. Thank you. Yes, Chris. Yes, of course. Yeah, my, it's a transition to be sure. Yeah. prayers for Bob's father as he makes that adjustment and celebrating the wonderful care that he has received heretofore. Thank you. Any other joys, any other concerns? Lens. Indeed. Very well said. Thank you so much, Lens. Giving thanks for the spring and the sunshine and the rain and the reminders of new life within and beyond us. Thank you. Beautiful. Would you join me now in a spirit of prayer? Dear one, thank you so, so very much for all the very many blessings that we have enjoyed and continue to luxuriate in this morning in the form of sunshine and spring augurs of new life and rain. We give thanks for Ruth's return to our congregation this morning. What a joy it is to see her after all this time. We give thanks for the occasion of meeting Ryan and Chris this morning, who have blessed us with their presence. Thank you for the mission partners that we are so very blessed to work with and for all that they do. Thank you for Women's Freedom Center, for Out in the Open. Bless them in their efforts, O God. We give thanks for the excellent care that Bob's father has received at the Thompson House and pray your presence upon him as he adjusts to a new stage of his life downstairs. We trust and pray that the care remain excellent and that Bob's father remain comfortable and content. Even as we come bearing these thanks, God, we come with heavy hearts as well, praying for those in our community who could very much use your peace right now. We pray, God, your presence in the life of Nancy's brother, his family, kids and grandkids, and especially his wife, as they pick up the pieces of life after his passing. Even as we acknowledge the relief and the peace that comes in passing after struggling for so long, we recognize the hole that grief leaves in our lives and pray for your medicinal touch. May we, the community and the communities in Tennessee where they are planted, be capacitated to surround them and help them in all the ways they need and seek to be helped. We pray continuously, of course, for Marion as well. Bless her. Provide her with your ease at this time in her life and her medical journey. Bless the hands that tend to her. And we pray for those who go into harm's way. We pray for caregivers. We pray for first responders and second responders and third responders, all who show up as helpers in their community's times of need. Bless them and their efforts. Bless their labors. We pray these things, O God, in the words our Redeemer taught us to pray when he walked among us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to rise as we sing hymn number 310, Thine is the Glory.
Heavenless is the stream, down the deepest. Angels in bright light, hosts in array, hang out our golden
You may be seated. Thank you. So many thanks, as always, to give. Of course, thank you to our visitors, HB, and our other friend from the Women's Freedom Center. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Truly a blessing to hear from you and to receive the good news of your labors in the world. I want to thank Jennifer, who thought very quickly on her feet after it was clear that we were missing too many in the choir. We had to rejigger some things. So thank you, Jennifer, for always excellent selections and leading us in music. Thank you to our greeters and collectors, Sandy and Renee. Thank you to Bob and Chris for the coffee hour spread. And thank you to all of you for showing up as you always do, not just here, but out in the world, in your relationships, in your lives, and bearing the truth in your witness to God's eternal love. I invite you now to raise your arms to receive the benediction. Go with peace, go in love. Your trust is making you well. Amen.